FM Rewind, Vow 88.1.
Well, if you just tuned in earlier on, we spoke about chronic pain, a condition once commonly associated with middle-aged to, you know, older adults. But now we see how young people are facing chronic conditions such as the one that we spoke about earlier on, fibromyalgia, which is a very complicated chronic condition. So please, young people, go out there and do more research on how you can minimize the chances of developing such chronic pains. Now, in this segment, we are turning the focus to another topic, often mislabeled as middle or midlife issue. Some other people believe that. And the topic that we are going to get into is menopause. But not only menopause. We're going to talk about what happens when it comes early, before it is expected. Some call it early menopause. Others call it premature menopause. And there's also a term which is also known as perimenopause. What exactly is perimenopause? Well, we're going to get into that. And to be clear, menopause itself, it is a natural biological process marking the end of a woman's menstrual cycle. It's not a disease, but it brings with it a range of changes from hot flashes, you know, mood swings, sleep issues, low libido, and even mental health struggles. These symptoms can overlap with other conditions, which makes diagnosis and support more critical. Now, here's the twist. What if this starts happening to you in your early 30s, mid 30s, or even in your early 20s or mid 20s? That is what we'll be talking about tonight with our guest tonight, who is Xoli Kamadlala, a passionate advocate and the author of the Perimenopausal Globetrotter, released in October 2024. And through her book, she managed to teach thousands and thousands of people and, you know, shed some light on premature menopause by sharing her personal experience, and also helped dismantle, you know, taboos around the subject. We are going to explore how this condition, you know, affects relationship, mental health, work life, and the need for more education and empathy, especially from or among men. She is joining us live and direct in studio. Good evening, Xoli Kamadlala. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. Eh?
Good evening to you and to everybody that is listening to us in different places.
I mean, the title of your book is fascinating indeed. When my producer told me about, you know, your journey and how you got to write this book, my goodness, you know, I was so inspired by how you, you know, openly told, you know, the world about your journey and, you know, variety of stories in educating different people from different ages. But can you tell us about your personal journey? How did you first realize that what you were experiencing was what we call a perimenopause?
I always respond in hindsight, because it took a number of years for me to actually know what was going on. Because as you aptly said, that menopause on its own hardly gets spoken about. Women just go through it in silence, in secrecy, due to a number of reasons, whether it's shame or whether it's the stigma that is still tied to it. So when I started presenting with the symptoms, I would look at them in isolation, shrug them off, put them off to one thing or another. At that time, I was still working as a flight attendant. So for example, when I was struggling with things like insomnia, I will put it to time zone changes. Or maybe I was in Australia. That is why then I'm struggling to sleep now that I'm back at home. Issues with lactose intolerance, digestive issues, whether gassy, bloated, and all of that. Question maybe where I got my food from. Maybe it was not prepared in a very hygienic space. That's why my system was acting up. And then brain fog. And I was like, what is going on? Am I losing my mind? So it was a number of symptoms. But for the sake of this conversation, I went through, I always say it was almost like a choice assorted box of different symptoms that I went through. But because nobody had prepared me for this, whether at school, whether my own family, nobody had spoken about it. I mean, at most you'll see older women just fanning themselves and say hi, hi. But you never knew that it was anything. So it was only when I struggled with depression, which fast tracked to me feeling suicidal. And then suddenly it's like the clouds moved away. And I asked myself, like, Polly, what have you been coexisting with for this number of years? Then I started jotting everything down. And then since we're the generation of Google, then I put the symptoms online. And that's when I got then that kind of an indication that I possibly could be in premature menopause. But if you are younger than 40, and that is when premature menopause happens, then you can't look at the symptoms and then conclude. You need to do certain tests that then prove that indeed is no other underlying condition. It is that. So for me, it took a number of years to find out.
Now, we're going to get into those tests that you advise that young people should go through. But let's get into your book. The perimenopausal globetrotter. Now, you used travel as a metaphor. What made you choose that framing?
I think it's for two reasons. As I said, I was still working for the national carrier. So I was working as a flight attendant at that time. Hence, even the cover, it's got an image of a flight attendant, amongst other things. But also, menopause in itself, it's almost like you are going on a journey that sometimes nobody has prepared you for. You think that you've got the right outfits, you know your itinerary, but along the way, then as spanners, they get thrown into the works, whether in terms of like aviation, then you can say like you had to reroute to another town and you're finding yourself on some like, but this is not where I was going. Menopause is exactly like that. It's not linear. It is not a one-size-fits-all approach. One woman's experience is not guaranteed to be another woman's experience. So it is definitely like traveling. The jargon, the terminologies that are tied to menopause, it's like landing in China and you don't speak the language. Then you look around and you're filled with confusion because you don't understand the language. Hmm. So that's how then the travel part.
I mean, such a fascinating title, and I know it can be self-explanatory, but I want us to get into the title itself, Menopausal Globetrotter.
Yes.
Menopausal Globetrotter.
Yes. It's a bummer that obviously the listeners cannot see. So it's like the, then as you said, menopausal, then you know when you've forgotten to write a word, then you put that sign, then peri. And then Globetrotter. So the book covers my transition into menopause, which is perimenopause. Then it covers me hitting that point of menopause and then being on the other side, which is postmenopause. So it encompasses like the whole transition, getting there, and then now on the other side. So the book takes the reader through the whole journey. And I always say that these chapters that I labeled TMI, because I told myself that if I'm going to write this book, I need to paint the picture. Because as it is, menopause is experience in secrecy, as I said. So even if you know about it, but you don't fully get it because women don't really speak about it. So me, I was like, you know what, Lord, you chose me to go through this for a reason, because I'm one of those that don't care about window dressing things or about PR. So I'm going to tell it as it is. For example, there's a chapter for where for the first time ever in my life, I experienced an episode of piles in Senegal. It's a French-speaking country. I had to get on Google while in pain so that I can find out what is piles in French, so that I can explain to the concierge at the hotel. Then they get the doctor for me. So, yeah, that is the whole concept behind the title, to say that I take you through it all, the pre, the experience, and where I am right now.
Now, you've spoken openly about the shame and stigma of, you know, going through this process, especially the shame and stigma that so many young people go through, and not many of them openly speak about their experience. Was it difficult to be vulnerable, especially when you were writing each and every chapter?
You know what? I do not think that it was, because before writing the book, I had been posting on Facebook for a while to my immediate community. I started 2016, April. The moment I got that confirmation that I had gone into premature menopause, my first thing was like, how come nobody's talking about this? Whether societally and on social media platforms. And then I put my first post, and it was titled Perimenopause Can Suck It. And I've included that post on the book. I included quite a number of the Facebook conversations so that the reader can see how it was initially met with silence. So that first post, I only got, I think, three reactions. That was it, which was surprising, because normally I engage with my people on Facebook because I post about anything and everything that is on my mind. But it was met with silence. But as time progressed, and then people started seeing that she's talking about anything and everything that we deem to be embarrassing, and then they started removing their own masks. And that's why even on Instagram, my handle is Mask Off with Xoli, because normally we are told to present perfection. So especially like on Instagram. But with me, I'll share moments where I'm getting a full-on hot flash, sweating bullets. And then I'll put the photo so that people can really see how bad it can get.
Now, I want us to educate a listener about the difference between perimenopause, early menopause, premature ovarian insufficiency. Yes. Is there a difference between the three medical terms that I've spoken about? And what exactly is the difference?
Okay, there is a difference. Perimenopause is the journey that is leading to menopause. It's like the transition, and that is the most confusing phase, because women are still maybe getting their periods, they've just given birth, but they're struggling now with the symptoms, because that's when the hormone starts fluctuating. And everyone's experience, as I said, that it's different. Some women, their transition can take like maybe 2 years. Others can take 7 years. Others as long as 14 years. It is important that every woman embrace their experience for what it is. And the symptoms that are presenting during this time, there are a lot, which is why we need to normalize this conversation, because during perimenopause, that's when you find most women also being misdiagnosed. For example, they may not be getting the typical symptoms that they we're expecting, that we normally speak about, whether it's hot flashes, brain fog, loss of libido, weight gain, and all of that. But they're struggling with new or worsening allergies. They're struggling with changes in body order, achy joints, and creepy crawly things, psychological symptoms. Then they are put sometimes on wrong treatment because of that. And then the natural ages for menopause, it's from the ages of 45 to 55. 51 being the most common age. So if I've said that the transition can take 2 to 14 years, some women, they can start transitioning as early as in their 30s, but not knowing, because they're thinking that, menopause is still that far. And then primary ovarian failure, primary ovarian insufficiency, or premature menopause. That is when menopause happens before the ages of 14. And I always say I've got a problem with those terminologies, because insufficiency and failure already like denotes as if something is wrong with you, which is why then some women can think like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. How do I even then admit to what I've gone through if it's tied to such negativity? And then once then a woman has gone through 12 months straight without a period, then they are deemed to have reached menopause. Not 11 months, not 9 months. It needs to be a full 12 months. Hence then this perimenopause can take a number of years, because the periods are irregular, but it hasn't gotten to that 12 months straight without a period. So menopause is just that single moment hitting that 12 months mark. Thereafter, then a woman is in postmenopause for the rest of her life. Once you are in postmenopause, then you can't say that you've reversed your menopause and say that you're going to go back and be perimenopausal or before. And also, while we're still talking terminologies, I'm just going to quickly touch on that there's also medically induced menopause, whether due to certain medications and treatments, whether it was maybe someone's got cancer, then they do radiation, chemotherapy, then it will lead them to medically induced menopause. And others, they go into surgically induced menopause, whether due to hysterectomies or other surgeries that they've done. So those are the terminologies that are normally confusing, because people go like, oh my God, so many pauses that are tied to this thing.
Mm. Now, just to avoid false self-diagnosis, because of sometimes people go through certain symptoms and they think, well, maybe it's premenopause, maybe it's perimenopause, maybe I'm experiencing, you know, complications when it comes to my cycle.
Yeah.
What are the common symptoms that you'd like to advise young people to be wary of, to be, you know, to pay attention to, the common ones?
The common ones, it is, before you mentioned something about self-diagnosis, which is the biggest problem because of the generation of Google. So if you're younger than 45 and you start presenting with some of the symptoms that I'm going to mention, don't, again, just sit back and say, I'm transitioning. You need to go and do the right test to eliminate everything else. So with the physical changes, because estrogen is responsible for overall functioning as women, some women can have their hair thinning, hair falling off. It's easy to blame the hairdresser, the style that you were using, or the products that you're using. Some women, they struggle with ringing in the ears or humming in the ears. Anything and everything that can go dry, it goes dry, whether it's dry eyes. Then you find someone starting to continuously put eye drops, others dry mouth. Hence, you will find that someone is always now wanting to have drinking liquids, because if your mouth is dry, you're not producing saliva and your mouth might stink. And also some women experience metallic bitter taste. Hence, you will see even older women suddenly wanting sweet things. And then other women is creepy crawlies, feeling like there's something that is crawling on their skin when nothing is happening. Lactose intolerance, digestive issues, changes in body odor, and loss of balance is one of them. And there's things like your phantom smells sitting here with you. It's like, smells like someone is smoking cigarette when there is none of that. And sensory overload, when someone is chewing next to you, you get irritable, which can affect how now you socialize with people, because now you're looking at people like, why are you chewing so loudly? Because of that sensory overload. So this is just some of the physical symptoms. Then there's the emotional ones. Suddenly someone will tell you that I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling like I can't put it into words what is going on, but I'm feeling teary, I'm feeling weepy, I feel like there's something that is sitting on my chest. Like, I struggle with rage. I get mad over small things that I've, like, normally I would put them off. And then, fast track, then there is the psychological symptoms. We've spoken about the brain fog. But then some women also struggle with climacteric depression, as I said. Lack of focus. You're sitting in the lecture hall or you're sitting in a meeting, but you just cannot concentrate. It's like you see lips moving, but you just cannot. You lose your zest for life. You live for cancelled plans. So, yeah.
Now that you've mentioned common symptoms, I want us to talk about how to deal with them, especially when it comes to lifestyle changes, to help a young person dealing with this manage their symptoms. What are those lifestyle changes that I should follow?
Lifestyle changes, they start from simple things like the food that we eat. We've moved so far away from how the older generations used to eat. Now we are eating food that is like full of preservatives, things that we cannot even call by name. So we're poisoning ourselves mostly with the food that we're eating, with the microwave generation, the quick meals that we just pop in there. And then sleep. We're not sleeping as good as we're supposed to. Whether we're chasing careers, we're chasing assignments, deadlines, and all of those things, the cell phones and all of that. So it is important to start managing your sleeping patterns. If you can see that, I mean, you are now operating on 4 hours, 3 hours of sleep, then you need to retrain your mind. Whether you start by saying that I'm going to move my sleeping time earlier by 30 minutes, slowly teach your body to do that, to shut down. Avoid using your phones, laptops and all of that when you're supposed to be winding down, because normally that's the last thing that people fall asleep doing, still on the cell phone. The lighting that we always have, we are exposed to, our circadian health is messed up because we hardly expose ourselves to natural light, which helps to regulate also our hormones and how our bodies operate. The artificial lighting, first thing you wake up in the morning, you switch on the light and you leave, get in the car, you get to the office, you are in under this artificial light the whole day. You knock off, get in the car, chances are you get home, it's lights again. So all of those things are not good. Stress plays a huge role. So wherever possible, people need to be intentional about how they are managing their stressors, whether at work, at home, in their relationship, socially, but stress plays a huge role. Women smoke a lot these days. And if you go into premature menopause, that's one of the questions that you get asked. Do you smoke? Because smoking plays a huge role. So if you are smoking and you're listening to me and you are not even feeling any of the changes, let this be that warning call to say that start cutting down, because normally we think that smoking equals to cancer, but it affects our reproductive health as women. And talk therapy, talking about things that we're going through, it is important, because the more we keep things inside, then those emotions and those feelings are toxins. And also, speaking of toxins, we poison ourselves with so many products also that we are using that have names that we cannot even mention. So those are just some of the things. Then movement also, whether it's walking, you don't have to take a gym membership if finances do not allow. But be active one way or another. Playing outside, getting sunlight, sunshine, fresh air. Those are some of the things.
Yo, Koli.
Overload, ne?
Kama Zala. What an informative, indeed, conversation that we have. In the next month, we are going to focus on men's health. And I want us to include at least an advice and, you know, advise men on how they can support women going through, you know, perimenopausal symptoms. How can we offer support? Because to be honest with you, the first thing that we do, we judge. That's the first thing that we do.
Upon yourself. And that's one of the reasons women go through this in silence, because they are ashamed how their partners or the men in their lives might use that against them.
And I want to say this as a man. The first thing that we do, we judge.
Yes.
Even when we are together as men, the first thing that we do, we judge. So how do we then support?
Firstly, informed equals empowered. So knowledge plays a huge role. Read up as much as possible so that you understand exactly what this phase of life comes up with. Then introduce the conversation to the woman in your life. And when I say that, it's not just about your partner. It can be your mother, it can be your sister, your colleagues, whoever that you're coexisting with, so that they firstly understand how clued up you are. Then they understand that they can speak to you. And then as a man, also then find out how best may I support you. Because as I say, it's not a blanket approach. Our struggles are not the same. If, for example, someone's struggling with fatigue and then you sharing living space with them, then you can say that I can help with the chores so that there is lesser for you on your plate. So here, and also humor plays a huge role, but then also get that consent from the person, because I mean sometimes you need to make light of these moments, hence like hot flashes, I call it personal summers. And my partner knows that when I'm getting it, then it's like, ah, fan me, do whatever.
You know, I'm holding the book now, approximately 400 pages long. And I just love how you managed to paint a picture of, you know, what you went through in an educational way. I also love what you wrote, turning my premature menopause lemons into lemonade by Koli amadlala. You know, time is not on our side right now, but I want us to speak to a listener, mm-hmm. either driving home from work, school, mm-hmm. Or wherever.
Yeah.
Where can they get this phenomenal book? And if they haven't read it yet, what are they missing?
Firstly, as you said, it's over 400 pages. The book is not just my experience, but it's got academia. It speaks to men, speaks to society, speaks to the church, speaks to the Department of Education. And the book is available through me, so you can look me up on social platforms, Xolika Madlala. You'll find me on YouTube. You'll see some of the conversations. And one thing that I would like for the listeners to understand that menopause is not doom and gloom. There's positives to it. I mean, this sweater that I'm wearing is the clothing line that was born through insomnia. Instead of just faffing in bed because I couldn't sleep, I had to be creative. So find your silver linings. I mean, the book came about also. There's nothing embarrassing. Inform yourself. Initiate the conversations. Be the change in your spaces. And thrive through this phase of life. Fabulous.
Amazing. Perimenopausal Globetrotter by Xoli Tamadlala. Thank you so much, Xoli, for joining us right here on Voice of Vets 88.1. And continue educating the masses. Continue, you know, sharing your experiences, because you never know, you're changing one life at a time. Thank you so much once again for joining us.
Thank you.
Lovely. That was Xoli Tamadlala, an author of in a phenomenal book that I'm holding right now. It is titled Perimenopausal Globetrotter. Please go out there and get yourself a copy of this book. With that said and done, Kori Wabati, thank you so much for joining us.
FM Rewind, File 88.1.